In the book of James. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be, would they comfort us, would they strengthen us, and would they challenge us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Lovely to see you all, everyone who is here at church, and also all of you watching from home. And last Sunday, we had a great talk kicking off a new series about faith from Keith Hagen. And so it's a great pleasure to continue on now with that series, the second talk, which is about a faith that can transform weaknesses. It's not just weaknesses in general, but it's our weaknesses. Now, just by way of a little bit of context, in Hebrews chapter 11, so this isn't our passage I'm going to be preaching from, but it just sets the scene. After he's talked about Abraham and Moses and all these other great heroes of the faith, the letter writer says, "I don't have time to tell you about Gideon or Barak or Samson or Jephthah or David or Samuel or the prophets whose weaknesses were turned into strengths." It's a fascinating picture as to how God makes use of you and me. Because I don't know about you, but I am very fallible and I have lots of weaknesses. And that's really what I want to unpack tonight. Whose weaknesses were turned into strengths. I don't know about you, I definitely want my weaknesses turned into strength. But how does God do that? Well, so we're going to look at the passage, which is in James chapter 5, which I think gives us some insight. So this is what it says, starting at verse 13. "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous..." Look at it over 2 weeks. Is because it has to do with two different kinds of problems in your life. Illnesses, sicknesses, and weaknesses. Now, you might just have listened to that passage or read that passage and think, but hang on, it's talking about when you're sick, when you're ill. But in fact, or to paraphrase, is anyone struggling with any weaknesses? So I'm going to look at that tonight, and Kate's going to look at the sickness aspect next Sunday, to strengths. Well, I think he uses three steps. The first one is we need to identify what our weaknesses are. Then, in order to change them. So the first thing is I have to do is to identify my natural weaknesses. Now, my wife is probably laughing at this stage because she says, she's probably thinking to herself, where do you want to start? Okay, Romans 12:3 says, "Be honest in your estimate of yourself. Don't think of yourself better than you are." So, don't exercise enough. I don't have enough self-control, so on and so forth. You start by identifying what your weaknesses are in your life. You can't work on them unless you've identified them. And I think that's the easy part. But if you are struggling and therefore lacking quite a degree of self-awareness, get someone who knows you or loves you to give you a helping hand in love to identify your weaknesses. And you say, that's the first thing. So that's a relatively simple thing, a relatively simple take home. You need to identify what your weaknesses are. Okay, so number two, I have to learn how God wants to use my weaknesses. Now you might think, God wants to use my weaknesses? But yeah, he does. He wants to use our weaknesses. He could use even bad things in our lives for good. So how is God going to use our weaknesses for good? Well, let me give you three or four suggestions. Number one, my weaknesses should prevent arrogance. My weaknesses should prevent arrogance. It should make me a much more humble person when I realize I am not perfect. I struggle in areas. I have weaknesses. I don't have it all together. I don't have everything working perfectly in my life. Paul says it like this. He had some great things done in his life by God. He said, "To keep me from becoming full of pride, conceited because of these revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me." I mean, this is the mighty Paul who's written most of the canon of scripture in Romans, but he couldn't rid himself from this so-called thorn. There's obviously been a lot of conjecture about what precisely was the nature of this thorn, but the truth is, we just don't know. So the first value of having a weakness is it makes us more human. It makes us more humble. When should also cause me to value others. 1 Corinthians 12:22 says this, "Some amazing team here that is around me at BPC is that God has sent me people." And I'm not just certainly not actually a polite way of saying, you cover for my deficiencies, my weaknesses. I couldn't possibly do any of this on my own. Ask any good self-aware leader. They know they have to have people around them who compliment them. And so God sends me you people to be a part of it all. People with a whole bunch of different skills, gifts and callings that make up for the legion areas where I am deficient. So my weaknesses cause me to value others. The third reason is that my weaknesses should make me more dependent on God. This is kind of an obvious one. Because when I realize I can't do something on my own, then I am more dependent on God. I'm sure many of you who've been through seasons in your life when you hit the buffers, there is just nothing more you can humanly do. And there's that kind of spiritual sigh, and you say, God, over to you. And actually, it's a great moment because you're handing over everything to God. And if you're anything like me, up until that moment of time, you have been striving as hard as you can to do everything in your own strength to sort whatever that problem is out. And when you realize finally there's nothing you can do, you fully surrender that to God. That's why God says to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." He goes on to say, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong." It's kind of embarrassing seeing men, and it's all by Facebook now, of course, that I last saw in the army 30, 35 years ago, because they know all about my weaknesses. It's quite embarrassing when somebody pops up and says, you know, "I want to be your friend on Facebook." And you look at the name and the picture, and you think, the last time that guy saw me, I was failing at something. But Paul says, I celebrate in my weaknesses. Look around at who God is using. I hope people look at me and hopefully say, well, if God is managing to make good use of Will, maybe he could use me because he's pretty messed up and you're still managing to use him. That's what God says. He says, I want you to learn to see that your weaknesses can actually cause you to be more dependent on me and bring more glory to Jesus. So finally, number four in this little sub section, my weakness should give me a ministry. Yeah. Did you realize that God wants not just to use your wants to use your strength in some kind of ministry? 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others in any trouble they have with the same comfort that we ourselves have received from God. So God allows us to go through a problem and he helps us. So then you can turn around and help someone else go through the same problem. If you didn't get through that problem, you couldn't help anybody else. If you didn't have that weakness, you couldn't help anybody else. Who could better help somebody who struggles with an addiction than someone who has had an addiction? Who can help somebody struggle with a loss of a child or the death of or a divorce than somebody who's lost a child or experienced the death of someone they love or has been through a divorce? Who can better help somebody who's had a miscarriage than someone who has had a miscarriage? And who could better help someone who's been abused than someone who has been abused themselves? So it sounds a bit mean, you know, I'm sorry for all the pain and the mess in people's lives, but the past is the past. And all of what we have gone through shouldn't be wasted. Don't waste it. You've already gone through the pain of it all. Never waste a hurt. Use it to help other people. And this is what God says. He says, I want to even use your weaknesses, not just your strengths, but your weaknesses in serving other people, because people can relate to that. It's why I always make sure I do the funerals of children in the parish. I can relate to that. Last Sunday, Jo Wigley preached really well at the 9 a.m., and she shared she'd been through an experience of cancer. And she said, you know, now I am able to relate to people who are struggling with cancer. And that's part of her ministry now. So let's just recap, because I think I've been racing through because I've got a lot to get through and we've covered a lot and we're not finished yet. So God says, I want to turn your weaknesses into strengths. First thing is you've got to identify them, you've got to recognize them, call it what it is. This X, Y, Z, whatever it is a weakness in my life. And then once you do that, recognize that God wants to use them in the four ways we've just talked about. And then number three, the final step, I must openly admit my weaknesses in order to change them. You have some things in your life that you'd like to change. I know that, even without a prophetic word from the Lord, because we all have. You say, oh no, I don't like that. That's going to be really embarrassing. It's going to humiliate me. It's going to humble me. Yeah, that's the whole point. You see, if you could change, you would change. But you can't, so you won't. The only way you're going to change those weaknesses that you've had your entire life, you have to tell somebody. You don't need to go posting stuff and let it all hang out on social media. But tell someone who loves you. Tell somebody who's going to love you unconditionally. Someone who's safe. Who's going to stick with you no matter what you tell them. I'm constantly encouraging people in the church to get plugged into one of our connect groups. This is the power of having a spiritual mentor or a spiritual friend or a spiritual director or whatever. What we're talking about here is vulnerability. That the more vulnerable you become about your own weaknesses, the easier and faster and quicker God's going to be able to transform those weaknesses into strength. Vulnerability. Okay, for men, this is the moment you might be thinking, Will, stop it there. That is far enough. We don't talk about vulnerability. Well, what is vulnerability? Well, it's simply being open and honest with somebody else about your own weaknesses and struggles. Men are notorious for not making themselves vulnerable. Now, let me give you some reasons from Scripture why God says it's important to be vulnerable. And I know I'm picking on the men here, okay? I'm sorry, I'm being sexist here. And I'm sure we've all met some women as well who struggle with being vulnerable. One of the things we've got into over half term is a box set on Amazon Prime called Bones. And it's about this slightly Asperger-y forensic anthropologist. She definitely struggles in this area. So it's not just a man thing, but it's mainly a man thing, I would suggest. So, first of all, vulnerability is spiritually empowering. The Bible says, and these are all verses out of the book of James, James 4:6, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What is grace? Grace is the power to change. Grace is the energy, the strength, the power to break through my bad habits, to cut the chains that hold me back in our weaknesses. Grace helps us break through those chains and break through our weaknesses. So how do I get God's grace? Be humble. God opposes the proud, James says, but gives grace to the humble. And so when I'm vulnerable and I admit to where, admit to you where I'm weak, where I'm really having a hard time, where I'm struggling, it opens up the door to all kinds of things. But mainly it opens up the door to God's grace. So number one, vulnerability is spiritually empowering. Number two, being vulnerable is emotionally healing. I always counsel people who are grieving that, you know, grief is like you shake up a champagne bottle and if you just bottle it up and you don't make yourself vulnerable, you're not good for you. What you want to do is gently take that cork off and let the grief come out. James chapter 5 verse 15 says, confess your faults to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The world will tell you that you need to see a therapist. The church will tell you you need to see a priest. But the Bible tells you, confess your faults to each other and pray for each other so that you in your connect group. And number three, vulnerability is a requirement for leadership. I think it really is. The Bible says this all through Scripture, that vulnerability is a requirement for leadership. If you can't be vulnerable, you're not a leader, you are a dictator. You're not a deeds that you do. And then, listen to this, with the humility that comes from wisdom. With the humility that comes from wisdom. Fools are full of pride. The more wise you become, the more humble you become. I can think of a certain American president in living memory who would do well to heed this message. It is the humility that comes from to give you some leadership, to help you rise in prominence, rise in influence. God will raise you up. If you humble yourself before the Lord, he will lift you up. So vulnerability, I think, is a mark of leadership. It's also, just going off piece chair, I think quite an attractive trait. Any single people out there? I think when you're dating someone, if they are invulnerable and don't share and don't tell you what's on your heart at all and like have hearts of concrete or stone, not very attractive, but someone who makes themselves vulnerable and gives you a glimpse to what's really going on in your heart is someone who is quite attractive. So this week, if you want to turn your weaknesses into strength, you've got to do it God's way. First, identify those weaknesses and then see how God wants to use them in your life. And then you commit to being open and authentic and vulnerable and being willing to admit your fears, your faults, your failures, your frustrations and your feelings. And if you do, you're on the road to spiritual maturity, spiritual power, emotional healing, relational attractiveness, and you'll become a leader. How does that sound? Sound good? You all got your homework? You're all going to go away and promise me to perhaps speak to someone who knows you really well and loves you and who's safe, who you can work out what your weaknesses are, and then to commit to those other ideas I've run through tonight so that God's grace can be poured out into your life because you're being humble, you're humbling yourself, and then he can bring around change to transform all those weaknesses, all the pain you've been through. Joe's many months of desperately battling cancer, you can change that into someone who is able to sit and pray and comfort another person who has cancer, as an example. I'd love to pray for us all, whether you're here or you're at home. So why don't we stand? The band's going to make their way up onto the stage now. We're on sacred ground. I mean, we're always on sacred ground whenever God's word is read and preached. But I'm conscious that everyone here, if you have even just an ounce of self-awareness, you will know that you have some weaknesses in your life with which you struggle. It's just how we're built. That nobody is perfect. We all fall short of the glory of God. And I know that for some here, those will be big, frightening, scary weaknesses with which you have been struggling for years and years. It could be an addiction of some sort. It could be a cycle of behavior that you know displeases God. And of course, the worst sorts are those that you keep in the secret hidden depths of your heart. So we're on sacred ground and watching this message right now. And Lord, you know we're all in different situations. Lord, you know we all have different needs, different fears, different frustrations. You know, we've had different failures in our lives, different seasons where we have struggled to listen to you, even to sense your presence alongside us, where we've felt in a desert place. And Lord, you know there are people here who are weak in different areas of their lives. Lord, we come to you. And we just say we're not satisfied being the way we are. Heavenly Father, we want to grow. We want to be different. We want to be stronger. We want to be healthier. We want to be more of a help to other people. We want to be better people, not bitter, but better people. And we know we can't do it without you. So we humble ourselves before you and say, come, Holy Spirit. If you're watching at home, why don't you, you can kneel down on the floor in front of the screen. You could stand, but you could also just hold your hands out now, just as a sign that you're open to do business with the Holy Spirit tonight. So we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Spirit of the living God. Holy Spirit, only you can do open heart surgery without any physical touch. Come into each and every one of us afresh, we pray. And as we stand before you, humbling ourselves before you, we acknowledge the weaknesses in our life, the areas where we struggle. We lay those before you now and say, come, Holy Spirit. Come and have your way with us now. Come as gently as a breeze or as powerfully as a roaring fire. But come, Holy Spirit, breathe on us afresh, we pray. Help us to see what those weaknesses are. They may be incredibly painful weaknesses. They could be losses we have endured, broken relationships, past addictions, things that we have stuffed in our metaphorical basement, locked up in a suitcase, wrapped chains around them, never wanting to venture into that basement again, and certainly never wanting to open the box. We say, come, Holy Spirit, and deal with that. Deal with those painful episodes in our past. Deal with our pride. Deal with our sin. We lay it all before you. And we say, come, Holy Spirit, I want to get rid of this stuff in my life. Come and transform this into strength. Come and break any chains that hold us. We ask for your power now to come into our lives, to help change us, to release us from all that keeps us in chains, that we may be set free and set forth into a new light, the light of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.